I think Lalonde would be in capable hands if we left it to Joshua, Paris said. What sort of partnership were you looking for? 60-40 in your favour, he said amicably. Which would cost me? I was thinking of 2 to 3 million fuser dollars as an initial working fund to set up our export operation. 80-20, Dominique said. Paris bit into the salt plum's pink flesh, watching Joshua keenly. 70-30, Joshua offered. 75-25. I get that percentage on all Norfolk tiers carried by the Vasilovsky line when our Mayo monopoly is in operation. Paris winced and gave his daughter a small nod. If you provide the collateral, she said. You accept my share of the Mayope as collateral, priced at the Norfolk sale value. Done. Joshua sat back and let out a long breath. It could have been a lot worse. You see, Dominique said wickedly, brains as well as breasts. And legs, Joshua added. She licked her lips provocatively and took a long drink. We'll get the legal office to draw up a formal contract tomorrow, Paris said. I can't see any problem. The first stage will be to set up an office on Lalonde and secure that Mayope monopoly. The Lady Mac still has got to be unloaded, then she needs some maintenance work, and we're due a Grade E CAB inspection as well as thanks to someone I met at Norfolk. Not a problem, but it takes time. I ought to be ready to leave in 10 days. Good, said Paris. I like that, Joshua. No beating around, you get straight to it. So how did you make your fortune? Paris grinned and popped the last of the salt plum into his mouth. Given this will hopefully develop into quite a large operation, I want to send my own representative with you to Lalonde to help set up your office, and keep an eye on this upfront money of mine you'll be spending.
Sure. Who?
Dominique leaned over until her shoulder rubbed against Joshua's. A hand made of steel closed playfully on his upper thigh.
Guess, she whispered salaciously into his ear.
Durringham had become ungovernable, a city living on spent nerves, waiting for the final crushing blow to fall. The residents knew of the invaders marching and sailing downriver. Everyone had heard the horror stories of Xenoc enslavement, of torture and rape and bizarre bloodthirsty ceremonies. Words distorted and swollen with every kilometre like the river down which they travelled. They had also heard of the Kulu embassy evacuating its personnel in one madcap night, surely the final confirmation. Sir Asquith wouldn't do that unless there was no hope left. Durringham, their homes and jobs and prosperity, was in the firing line of an unknown, unstoppable threat, and they had nowhere to run. The jungle belonged to the invaders. The 7 colonist carrier starships orbiting impotently overhead were full. They couldn't offer an escape route. There was only the river and the virgin sea beyond. The second morning after Ralph Hilch made his dash to the relative safety of the Equon, the 28 paddle boats remaining in the frightened city's circular harbours set off in convoy downriver. Price of a ticket was 1,000 fuser dollars per person, including a child. No destination was named. Some talked about crossing the ocean to Sarrel. Amerisk's northern extremity was mooted. It didn't matter. Leaving Durringham was the driving factor. Given the exorbitant price the captains insisted on, and the planet's relative poverty, it was surprising just how many people turned up wanting passage. More than could be accommodated. Tempers and desperation rose with the brutal sun. Several ugly scenes flared as the gangplanks were hurriedly drawn up. Frustrated in their last chance to escape, the crowd surged towards the colonists barricaded in the transients' dormitories at the other end of the port. Stones were flung first, then molotovs. Candace Elford dispatched a squad of sheriffs and newly recruited deputies, armed with cortical jammers and laser rifles, to quell this latest in a long line of disturbances. But they ran into gang ransacking a retail district. The tactical street battle which followed left 8 dead and 24 injured. They never got to the port. That was when Candace finally had to call up Colin Rexrue and admit that Durringham was out of control. Most urban districts are forming their own defense committees, she datavised. They've seen how little effect the sheriffs have against any large-scale trouble. All the riots we've had these last few weeks have shown that often enough, and everyone's heard about the Swivel and Posse.